Today's Bible studies is about fasting. We're going to be talking about the fasting, biblical fasting. And I'd like you to pay attention because this teaching is not just coming for us because we're going to be starting a fasting soon. It is coming to help us and give us the knowledge that we need in order to have that biblical understanding about fasting, just in case we decide to fast. Or like I always say, some of you may be called tomorrow into ministry, you may be called to lead other people. You need this knowledge so you can transmit it to other people. And so we're going to be talking today about biblical fasting. And I read a statistic that was very shocking and interesting and shocking at the same time. That said that 50% of professed Christians in America have never fasted. 50% of professed Christians in America have never fasted, or even more, as some statistics may say, even more. We're going to begin this teaching today by defining what is fasting. What is fasting? Biblical fasting comes from the Greek word nestio. Nestio in Greek is nestio, and in the Hebrew is tusume, which is defined, or which can be defined as abstaining from food for a spiritual purposes. Abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. Now, the reason why I go to the Greek word and the Hebrew word to make my definitions is so that we are not carving out definitions according to our own convenience or according to our own understanding. We go to the root word to see what was Jesus saying when he talked about fasting. When the Bible says Moses fasted, what did the Bible mean by Moses fasted? When the Bible says Elijah fasted, what was the Bible saying when he said he fasted? And so the root word suggested that these people avoided food for a specific period of time for particular spiritual reasons. So simply going without food because it is not available or for medical reasons is not biblical fasting. There must be a spiritual motivation to qualify abstaining from food as biblical fasting. There must be a spiritual motivation. So if you just go the whole day without eating, you're not fasting. What makes it a fast is the motivation that is attached to your abstinence from food. That makes it a fasting. Now, what fasting is not? We've heard what is fasting. Let's see what fasting is not. Fasting is not hunger strike. You know, when we talk about fasting, what comes to the mind of many Christians is, I'm not going to eat until God answers me. That is hunger strike. You know, like people who go in front of an office or an organizational building and say they will not eat or leave this place until a certain law is changed. That is not fasting. Fasting is not protesting against God. Fasting is not used abstaining from food to protest against God. Fasting is not dieting. Fasting is not dieting. You know, like I've said before, and I'm going to say again later, that biblical fasting, as we have seen from the definition, from its root word, is abstinence from food. So you cutting down on your coffee, cutting down on your meat, cutting down on your fish, or whatever you eat, your candy, or whatever nutrients that you've been taking before, is not fasting. Fasting is not dieting. That is why I said, if fasting is dieting, then all vegetarians in this country are fasting. Or all people who don't eat certain things are fasting. The fasting is not dieting. Fasting is not missing a meal. Fasting is not missing a meal. For example, I may get up in the morning and I'm very busy and I forget to eat. I can't just say, well, since I missed my meal this morning, let me just say I'm fasting. If there was no spiritual motivation in the morning before you got up from your bed, that is not fasting. Fasting is not missing a meal. Fasting is not trying to bribe God. Fasting is not trying to bribe God or attract his sympathy. Or you think when I stay the whole day and I don't eat and I become so weak And then God will look at me and God will be merciful. Fasting is not trying to bribe God or get sympathy from God. Fasting is not when you don't have food to eat. And then you decide, okay, we're going to fast regardless. So we don't have food to eat. So what is the point? Let's just fast. No, fasting is not when you don't have food to eat. So these are the definition, the what fasting is not. Now let's talk about the biblical foundation of fasting. Biblical foundation of fasting. What is our basis for fasting? What is our basis for fasting? Because somebody may say, but why are you even fasting in the first place? Because we have teachings today, doctrines today that says that Jesus Christ has achieved, has acquired for us all, has given to us all that we need for life and godliness. All we have to do is just walk into the blessings of the Lord, confess the blessings of the Lord, and believe it and we'll receive it. So some people don't even believe in fasting. They believe that fasting is for those perhaps who do not have faith in their theory. If you read Matthew chapter 6 from verse 16 to 18, Matthew chapter 6 from verse 16 to 18, it says, and when, let me read it from the New International Version for clarity. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 to 18. He said, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say to you, that they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you may not appear unto men to fast. But your Father, who is in secret and who sees in secret will reward you openly. If you notice from these three verses we have read, Jesus did not say, if you fast. He said, when you fast. So he expected his followers to fast. He says, when you fast. If somebody is traveling to, for example, from Virginia to Washington, D.C., and he says, when you get on I-66, it means he's saying you will definitely get on I-66 to get to Washington, D.C. But if he says, if you get on I-66, it means that there's a possibility that you may not take that route. So when Jesus Christ says, when you fast, it means he expected all his followers to fast. It wasn't a matter of if. It was not a matter of preference or choice. He expected his followers to fast. So if we are called Christians and we are believers, then we are expected to fast. The second reason why we should fast is that all the three major characters in the Bible that sum up the Bible, the three major characters that I would say are representatives of the various parts that make up the Bible, all fasted. The first is Moses, that represents the law. He fasted 40 days. The second is Elijah, that represents the prophets. He fasted 40 days. The third is Jesus Christ, that represents grace. He fasted 40 days. And you remember that on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, because these three are representatives of the various dispensations that make up the scriptures. So if all these people fasted, and our Lord Jesus Christ himself fasted, then fasting is a requirement for Christians. Fasting is a requirement for Christians. Now let's talk about kinds of fast. There are multiple or sub kinds of fast that we can talk about, but there are two major kinds of fast that we are going to talk about today. The first is partial fast. For example, the fasting we're going to be fasting beginning from Sunday to Saturday is a partial fast. And what is a partial fast? It means that For the 7 days we are going to be fasting, we are going to be breaking or ending our fast every evening. That is a partial fast. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible said, they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and his son Jonathan, for the people of the land and the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. So they fasted till evening. It was a partial fast. Partial fast is a fast that you end every day. The second kind of fast is total fast. Total fast, if you read Matthew chapter 4, verse 2, it says, and after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. If you go to the book of Luke, it says, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he ate nothing and he was hungry. So Jesus Christ ate nothing for 40 days and 40 nights. That is a total fast. So to make it clear, if we want to distinguish what is the difference between a total fast and a partial fast, it means that for those who are doing total fast, for example, let's say the fasting that is started on Sunday, it means that from Sunday till Saturday, they will not eat anything. It means your last day to eat will be Saturday. And then you may eat again on Saturday evening or Sunday. That is somebody who is doing a total fast. But a partial fast is what we're going to do, which means we're going to be ending our fast every evening. So those are the two kinds of fast. But know that the kind of fast you take do not come with the same results. A person who engages in a total fast and a person who engages in a partial fast cannot have the same results because they are not the same levels of sacrifice. In Exodus chapter 38, verse 28, it says, so 40 days, 40 nights, he neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablet the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. This is talking about Moses. Moses was with God on the mountain 40 days, 40 nights, and he ate nothing and drank nothing. He wrote the Ten Commandments. That was a total fast. Now let's talk about wrong motivations for fasting. Wrong motivations for fasting. Number one, as Jesus Christ spoke about in Matthew 6, verse 18, he says, you fast because you want to be seen by men as fasting. That's what Jesus Christ said. On the day of your fast, anoint yourself. Don't go to the office looking so sad. I want to say, hey, what is wrong? Well, our church is fasting. We are on a 7-day fast. And you act as if you want to get sympathy or some kind of appreciation or compliment from your friends or co-workers. Jesus Christ said, anoint your face. Look even better, that no man may know that you're fasting, because your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. The second wrong motive of fasting is to be justified by God. Like I said before, some people think when they fast, they impress God. Like God becomes proud of them for fasting. You don't fast to impress God. If you fast, you are the one trying to align yourself and bring yourself to a spiritual position where you can get answers or connect with God. You don't impress God when you fast. You don't. The third wrong motive for fasting is to be commended by God. We think when we fast for a long time, God is going to say, oh, well done, my son. I'm proud of you now because you're fasting. I'm going to take 7 days without eating and expect maybe at the end of the 7 days, God is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Fasting does not impress God. Fasting does not get any commendation from God. Now let's look at biblical reasons for fasting. The following are 10 circumstances in the Bible in which believers sought God through fasting. Believers sought God through fasting. The first reason for fasting is to strengthen prayer. To strengthen prayer. You remember in the book of Matthew, when Jesus Christ was with his disciples, he came back and found that a certain man had brought his son to the disciples, and they could not cast out the devil from the child. And the man took the child to Jesus and said, I brought my son to your disciples, and they were unable to cast out the devil. And Jesus Christ said, O ye of faithless generation, how long will I be with you? And the Bible says, with a word, he drove out the unclean spirit. And the disciples were curious. Why is it that their master was able to drive out this unclean spirit and they could not? And then when they asked, Jesus Christ said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Meaning, fasting strengthens prayer. Fasting strengthens prayer. That's the first reason why we fast, to strengthen our prayer. You all, especially those who are fasting, will understand that when you are fasting, your prayer level is not the same as other times. You feel a different kind of concentration in the place of prayer when you're fasting, because fasting strengthens prayer. The second reason why we fast is to seek God's guidance. To seek God's guidance. You can read this in Judges chapter 20, verse 26 to 28. You know, anytime most of the judges or even David wanted to go out for war or to make a major decision, they will go and seek God and say, God, shall we go up to fight the Amalekites? Shall we go up to fight the Philistines? And the Lord will say, go. They always get guidance from God before they move. So if you are a Christian and you want to take a major decision, maybe you want to get into a marital relationship, you want to start a business, you want to make a decision, you want to invest in something, it is advisable to take some time to fast and get God's guidance. We regret about many decisions we make because before we got into those decisions, we never took time to seek God's face, whether he was endorsing that decision or endorsing that action we were about to take. Number three, we fast to express grief. We fast to express grief. You can see this in 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 13. So fasting is not just, you know, asking things from God or just to get some spiritual benefits from God. When Saul and Jonathan died, like we read in the Bible, the whole Israel fasted. The whole Israel fasted. The whole Israel fasted to express their grief. So fasting is a way to express grief. So some people don't understand why I say that sometimes when somebody dies, or maybe you lost a friend, a relative, you just suddenly don't have an appetite for food. Because one of the ways to express grief is through fasting. A prime example, of course, like what I said, when David and his men fasted till evening for their friends, when Jonathan and Saul fell by the sword during war, they fasted till evening. The number four reason for fasting is to seek deliverance or protection. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3 to 4. To seek deliverance or protection. You know, sometimes we want freedom from covenants, freedom from bondage, freedom from ancestral curses, freedom from... There are sometimes that a simple prayer may not do the work. You have to take a next step by fasting to seek deliverance and protection. You fast. Anytime the Israelites, especially in the Old Testament, were seeking deliverance from their enemies, in Scripture, they fasted. They fasted. Number five is to express repentance and return to God. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 6, you can see that. So the way to express that you are truly repenting and turning to God is through fasting. You take a day to cry out to the Lord to forgive your sins and tell the Lord, I'm coming back to you today by fasting. And that shows that you're really sincere, because most people will say, I'm sorry, just to appease the God, and then the next day they go back and do the same thing. When a man truly takes time to cry in God's presence, take a day or two or three to repent, to confess and repent and renounce that sin and totally surrender to God. That's what shows that you are serious about repenting. You're fully committed to the actions and decisions you're taking. So we fast to express repentance and a return to God. Number six, we fast to humble ourselves before God. We can see this in 1 Kings 21, 27 to 29. When the Lord announced to Ahab that he was going to die because he killed Naboth and took his vineyard, Ahab started fasting. And the Lord said to Elijah, can you see how Ahab has humbled himself? Because fasting is a way of humbling ourselves before the Lord. Number seven, we fast to express concern for God's work. We fast to express concern for God's work. That's why sometimes on Tuesdays when we fast, sometimes the prayer points is not just about us. We pray for the nations, we pray for other churches, we pray for people, we pray for families, we pray for those in authority, we pray for governments. We want to see God's work prosper. So fasting is a way to express our concern for the work of God. We can see this in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. You know, Nehemiah fasted when he saw that the walls of Jerusalem had been broken down. He prayed to seek God's help so those walls could be rebuilt. Number eight, we fast to minister to the needs of others. We fast to minister to the needs of others. We can see this in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 3 to 7. We can use the time we normally spend getting to fast and minister to others. So if I'm fasting, maybe during the time that I'm not eating, I can use that time to serve others. I can use that time to do something else. Maybe the time I was supposed to be going for lunch, the time I was supposed to be going for other things, I can use that time to do things for others. As the Bible says in Isaiah 58, verse 3 to 7. Number nine, we fast to overcome temptation. We fast to overcome temptation and dedicate yourself to God. You remember, Jesus Christ was able to overcome the temptations that he faced in the desert because he was in the presence of the Lord fasting. If you read Matthew chapter 26, Jesus Christ came and found the disciples sleeping. He said, can't you pray and watch lest you overcome temptation? So when we are strengthened by fasting during the time of prayer, we build the stamina to resist all kinds of temptations. And number 10, we fast to express love and worship for God. So you may not just be fasting just because you have a problem, because when we think about fasting as Christians, we think about somebody having a problem or a trouble, and then they are coming to God to seek for help or intervention. But fasting is a way of worship. I can take a day to fast just to worship the Lord, not because I need anything. I'm just here just to be in the right frame of mind, to be in the right spiritual frequency, so that I can better express my love, my commitment, my desires, my praise, my admiration, my adoration to the Lord. Luke chapter 2, verse 37. We fast to express our love and worship for God. Now let's talk about how to begin a fast. How to begin a fast. Step one, set an objective for your fast. Why are you fasting? That's the first thing you must ask yourself. Why are you fasting? Is it for spiritual renewal? Is it for guidance? Is it for healing? Is it for direction? Is it for a solution to a problem? Is it for a special grace to handle a particular conflict? Is it for forgiveness or repentance? Why are you fasting? You must set a spiritual objective. What do you want at the end of this fast? That's the first thing you need to do, step one. Step two, commit to your fast. You need to ask yourself, how long do you want to fast? Are you going to be fasting from morning, from 6 to 6, or from 6 to 2, or from 6 to 4, or from 6 to 6 or 6 to 8? How long do you want to fast? Is it 7 days, 40 days, 21 days, 10 days? How long? The type of fast God wants you to, you know, undertake must be determined. What are the physical adjustments that you have to make in order to be fully involved in this fast. And when you have defined all these parameters, commit to your fast. You know, I used to tell a story how when I was young in the Lord and I started learning how to fast, I would get up in the morning and say, I'm fasting sometimes for 3 days. I want to go 3 days straight. I'm just going to drink water for 3 days. And then the next day, I'll be so weak, I say, well, I'm just going to end the fasting today. I'll take it next time. Or sometimes I may say, I'm fasting from now till evening. But then I come back from school, and my aunt has cooked something very delicious, and I go to the kitchen, and I see my food served already waiting for me. They don't know if I'm fasting. They know I'm going to come back from school and eat, but it's all left for me to wait in the evening and eat. But I can't stand the smell and the aroma coming from the kitchen. So I go to the kitchen and say, Father, thank you for this day. I thank you that you heard my prayer already. Before I started fasting, you know exactly what I needed, and I end the fast. And the Lord had to rebuke me because I valued food more than being in his presence. So you have to set the parameters for your fasting and commit to that fast. If you determine to go for this period of time or these hours in the day, do not change it. Commit to what you have determined. Number three, prepare yourself spiritually. The foundation of fasting and prayer is repentance. Unconfessed sin will hinder your prayers. Here are several things that you can do to prepare your heart for fasting. Ask God to help you with a comprehensive list of things that you may have done wrong. Let God search your heart and express and expose to you some of the things that you need to make amends. Maybe you need to confess. You need some reconciliation, forgiveness before the fast. Confess every sin that the Holy Spirit brings to your mind and ask God for forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says that if we confess our sins, God is just and able to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Seek forgiveness from anyone you have offended and forgive anyone who has hurt you. We see this in Mark 11, 25, Luke 11, 4, Luke 17, 3 to 4. Jesus Christ said, he said, if you have a prayer, a sacrifice to offer, and then you remember that you have a conflict with your brother, he says, drop that sacrifice, that prayer, whatever you brought, drop it. Go make peace. Go reconcile. Then come and fast. So you can imagine as a man or as a woman, you've not spoken to your husband for the past 2 months and you're here fasting for 7 days. That fasting is in vain. Or you just had a serious quarrel with your husband. You're so bitter, you can't stand him. But 7 days fasting is starting and you're starting the fast. It's a waste of time. You have to make sure that you have the right connectivity with God and you're free from all grudges, free from resentment and bitterness before you launch into a fast. Make amends with people as the Holy Spirit leads you. Surrender your life to Christ fully as your Lord and Master and refuse to obey your worldly nature. You know, if you have not given your heart to Jesus completely, don't waste your time fasting. Fasting is for believers. It's not for religious people. If your heart does not fully belong to God, fasting is just a ritual. You must come to that place where you've surrendered completely to God and God is everything. Begin your fasting and prayer with an expectant heart. Begin your fasting and prayer with an expectant heart. Don't just fast, like I said, with no objective. Expect God to do something as you fast. You know, when you go to make a request, you expect a reply, a response. Whether positive or negative, we know we are expecting a response. So begin your fast with an expectant heart. Do not underestimate your spiritual opposition. Satan will always sometimes intensify the natural battle between the body and the spirit. You know, when you decide to fast, that's when, you know, an old friend that you've not spoken to for 3 years will decide to take you for dinner. Or your mother-in-law just suddenly appears and brings you a big flask of food and say, hey, I just brought this. You want to taste? And you kind of confused, like, it's been so long that my mother-in-law came. If I say no to her, now she's going to think I still have a conflict with her. So now you end your fast and you eat. Satan will devise all kinds of strategies to make you terminate that fast. Sometimes it stirs aggression. You realize that sometimes when you're fasting, that is when maybe your husband or your wife starts unnecessary conflicts, problems that have no foundation. Your children begin to misbehave. All that is not from them. The enemy is just trying to use everything available to him to make sure he pollutes that fast, he destroys that fast, he destroys the potency of that fast. Number step four is prepare physically. What does that mean? Do not rush into the fast. Take your time to prepare for the fast. You know, prepare your body. If you're going to fast, let's say for 40 days, and you begin your fast, let's say tomorrow on Thursday, you don't start this evening by eating like you go to a buffet and say, let me go and eat because in the next 40 days I'll not be eating. You are not going to succeed in that fast. If you're going to fast for long, you start reducing your portions, your food portions slowly as you approach the start of your fast. You start reducing your food, your portion size gradually, so that by the time you stop eating, it's not a drastic change in your system. If you went from eating 5 loaves of fufu or 5 bowls of rice, and then the next day, boom, nothing, you will see your system will begin to rebel and begin to oppose that activity because your body is not adjusting to that drastic change. You have to reduce your food portions slowly. You know, eat smaller portions, like I said. Avoid high fat and sugary food. Food that has a lot of sugar is not good when you're fasting or when you end your fast or close to the time you want to start your fast. Eat fruits, raw fruits and vegetables before starting your fast. Carrots and apples are usually advised because it helps to give you the nutritional boost that you need for your fast. You know, any nutritional things that you need that can help you, you consume those things before you start your fast because you're going to go for a long time without eating and getting those nutrients. So you take those things that will sustain you. If you read the book of in 1 Kings, the Bible says after Elijah ate the food that God gave him, he was able to go into the desert 40 days without food. So God gave Elijah a boost, a kind of spiritual meal that was able to sustain him for 40 days. And the next thing we're going to talk about is how to make your fast relevant. How to make your fast relevant. Now let me read a scripture from Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, from verse 3. Isaiah chapter 58, from verse number 3. And it says, we have fasted before you, they say, and why are you not impressed? This is what I was saying before. People think when they fast, they impress God. We have been very hard on ourselves, and you don't notice it. People think that by fasting, we can get God to see, oh, look at them, they are really fasting. I will tell you why. You see, it's because you are fasting to please yourselves, even while you fast. You keep your workers, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting? This is what the Lord is saying. When you keep on fighting and quarreling, is that fasting? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. That's what the Lord is saying. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending to the wind. You dress in burnt lamb and cover yourself with ashes. Is that what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? So the principle behind these verses is that the people were fasting and they did the way they pleased. on the day of your fasting, you are still the one quarreling, you're still arguing, you're still fighting, you can't let nothing go. You're still on Facebook, you're still watching your movies, you're still on watching your shows, you're still engaged in everything like normal, except for the fact that you're not eating from morning till night. That is not fasting. If you're going to make your fasting relevant, you have to avoid social media, avoid TV, avoid all these platforms that is sending contradictory messages to what you are trying to send into your spirit. Because fasting, like I said to you on Tuesday, is a date with God. I'm going on a date with God. It's just me and God. I want to talk to him and I want him to talk to me. You don't bring a third person to that date. You don't bring other things to that date. You give God your full attention so that he can give you his full attention. So if you fast from morning and you spend 4 hours on Facebook but you pray 30 minutes, you have not even read your Bible the whole day, you are not fasting. If your fasting is going to be effective, you have to avoid crowds and popular gatherings. There are places they invite you, tell them you cannot come. Stay at home. So that when you go to the place and they say, oh, I cannot eat this, why? I say, no, we are fasting. Oh, please just eat salad. No, I can't eat salad, we are fasting. Oh, drink even juice. No, I can't drink because you have to explain to people because you position yourself in a place where you have to keep talking about fasting, that you don't even have to tell people that you're fasting. Avoid being in a crowd if it's not necessary. Avoid strife and any form of conflict. You get up in the morning, your wife wants to start trouble, walk away. Your husband wants to start problem, walk away. Don't entertain any form of strife or conflict, because once that strife happens, that conflict happens, and now a seed of resentment, bitterness has been sown in your spirit, and you're walking the whole day in the house looking at your husband or your wife like, look at him. And the fasting has been polluted. So avoid any form of conflict. Not avoiding them so that you can come and deal with them later, because like I used to say, some people may avoid conflict, but they hold that grudge. They say, when I finish this fast, I will show this man. When I finish this fast, I will deal with this woman. That's not fasting. You have to build a level of tolerance where you ignore those things. You let them go. I have something better to do today. I have a guest. I have someone to meet with today that is far better than all this nonsense that is around my life. Avoid working hard or doing anything that will drain your energy. You know, sometimes you're fasting. On the day of your fasting, you decide to go do overtime. Then you come in the evening, you're not able to pray. You're praying and yawning and sleeping because you exhausted all your energy to do things that has now deprived you of having that quality time with God. Avoid doing unnecessary things. Like if you have to do anything that you know is going to take away your energy, avoid it. Don't, if it's possible, don't even walk out in the day you fast. So that you come in, even now you can't pray because you are so tired from your workout. You're so tired because you went walking around. You're tired because you did some kind of activity. That's the day you decide to clean your whole house on the day of fasting. And after cleaning and cooking and doing all these things for your family, you're so drained that you can't even pray. You can't read the Bible. You want to read your Bible, you start snoring, you're sleeping and drooling all over the pillow because you drain your energy. So don't do too much that you don't have the energy to pray. And lastly, how to end your fast is very important. Now, for many of us that are going to be doing partial fast, this may not really apply, because if you're eating every evening, you don't really have to worry about how you end your fast. But for those who do like total fast, 3 days without eating, 7 days without eating or more, when you want to end your fast, don't revenge, like I used to say. Don't revenge on food. Don't revenge on the food that you've missed over the days. Maybe you're doing a 3 days fasting. You've not eaten from Monday till Wednesday. And now on Wednesday, you decide to go somewhere to a restaurant. You say, bring me chicken, bring me fish, bring me meat, bring me pork, bring me rice, bring me you order things. It's like you are You want to recover for all those days you didn't eat. That's not how you break your fast. You don't revenge on food. Don't combine your breakfast, your lunch, and your dinner and eat in the evening. Like I said, we're fasting from Sunday. You say from Sunday morning, you don't eat, but you keep your breakfast. You don't eat in the afternoon, but you keep your lunch. And in the evening, you join the breakfast, the lunch, and the dinner you eat. That's not how we break the fast. You're going to discover that the next day you're going to be dying. You can't wait for evening to come before you eat, because most of the things we call hunger is habit. Most of the time we say I'm hungry, it's just you train your body to expect food after a certain period. When your body dictates that the level of nutrition that is in your body is getting low, then your body begins to expect an addition. It's not even hunger, it's just habit. So when you train your body to eat a certain quantity, then your body begins to go for long without expecting that quantity, then there will be a revolt. That's when you start hearing all kinds of noises in your stomach, because you've trained your body to have this quantity of food every day. So if you break your fast like that, you discover that the next day it will be difficult for you to continue that fast, because you've trained your system to have a certain quantity of food within a particular duration. So start ending your fast with liquids, water, and juice, and avoid acidic liquids. Acidic liquids are any fruits that has acid, pineapples, orange, lemon, limes, and all those things that are sour in nature that are acidic. Don't take them at the end of your fast. Those things can be dangerous. Some people can have stomach ulcer because of those things, especially those who do like dry fast. Don't end your dry fast and you just maybe drink pineapple juice, orange juice, or grape juice, or anything that is acidic. Avoid those acidic foods. Also, avoid carbohydrates and eat in small portions. There was a story about a young man in Cameroon who died, and after fasting for multiple days, dry fasting, the first thing he ate was he went and drank garri. And after he drank the garri, he lay down as if he was tired, he was digesting the food, and that was it, he died. Can you imagine after going for days without eating, the first thing you eat is drinking garri? That was dangerous. Now, increase your intake gradually until your system returns to normal. What does that mean? If you went for 7 days without eating, now your intestines their intestines shrink. They've reduced in size. You can't just start forcing food in there. It's going to be like you're trying to put something bigger into a smaller hole, because your intestines, they have shrink. It's going to take time. You start eating gradually. Your intestines begin to open up. They open up gradually. And then it gets to a place where it comes back to normal. So don't just, like I said, don't revenge. Don't say, wow, I can't believe that we just ended this fasting. Then you go and eat now like you couldn't wait for the fasting to end. You do that in smaller portions. So there's much more that we can talk about this fast, but this is the few information that you need if you're going to be fasting as God expects us to fast. And I hope that this knowledge that we've had this evening has been beneficial to you. Father, we thank you immensely for all that you've done. We give you praise and glory. We give you honor and adoration. We just want to say, Father, as we come before you today, listening to all that you have to say, grant us grace to apply all these things. And we know that we receive the grace to fast. Let that grace begin to manifest in our lives in the name of Jesus. Amen.